All right, well, this morning, without further ado, let's look at our lesson from the book of 1 Peter once again. As we study through this wonderful book of the Bible, we're learning some great lessons in having victory in different areas of our lives. 1 Peter chapter number 4, and the title of this morning's lesson is Be Strong in Giving. Now, if you're a little bit worried at this stage, let me assure you, we're not talking about money this morning. Although giving includes every kind of giving, these verses refer to God's call on our lives, not to live to get, but to live to give. Amen. God has given us spiritual gifts as Christians, and He has equipped us to give, to serve Him with our lives. So 1 Peter chapter number 4. Let's look at verses 10 and 11 this morning. The Bible says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the word of God this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints. Lord, we thank you for the sweet joy of Lord gathering together on the Lord's day to worship you, Lord, to gather, Lord, in fellowship and in praise, Lord, to the goodness of your love and of your mercy. Lord, we thank you for this time this morning. Lord, we thank you that it is a special day. Lord, a day where we remember we have a risen Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death and sin and rose again from the dead. Lord, we thank you that through Christ we can be saved and through Christ we can live victoriously in the day in which we live. Lord, help us, dear Lord, to learn from your word and, Lord, to obey the truth of the word of God this morning. Lord, we ask that you would be glorified through our lives as a result. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we remember the book of 1 Peter and the audience that it was written to, let's always keep in mind that this book was written to suffering Christians, Christians living in a day of great persecution. Christians were hated for their faith. They were blamed by the Roman Empire for much of the disaster, the calamities in the world. And so the Christians were being horrifically persecuted, weren't they? They were being savagely put to death. And it was a time of great distress, of great persecution. And under the inspiration of God, Peter wrote this wonderful book to suffering Christians, to struggling Christians. Now remember, in our day, as Christians, we are also we also face a measure of persecution, a measure of suffering. The Bible tells us that will be a fact if we dare to live the Christian life. But thank God we can have victory, amen, through the Lord Jesus Christ. God promises we can live in a victorious Christian life if we, of course, abide in Him. If we follow the Lord, if we live according to His Word. And here, these passages focus on an area of our life, the area of giving. Now, when you and I are facing a trial, or if you can imagine these suffering saints in Peter's day, what is the natural response in our own natural state, in our flesh, when we face persecution, when we face trials? Is it to launch out and do more for the Lord, or in our natural state do we tend to withdraw and close down and hide away? Well, we oftentimes hide away, don't we? We consume ourselves with ourselves. We cry perhaps in the corner and say, "Woe is me, why is this happening?" And I dare say that this perhaps was the reason why Peter wrote to these believers and he said, "Now remember, the Christian life that God has called you to live is not a life hidden in the corner. It's not a life where you withdraw from society and just stay in your own little room and in your own fellowship and just wait out this time of persecution. Now, the Bible says that these Christians were called to, just as we are, to endure the sufferings for the glory of God and to go out and preach the gospel and to be used of the Lord and to serve the Lord with their lives. So this morning we're going to be looking at Peter's encouragement to these believers and us to be strong in giving, to be strong in giving. Now we only have one life to live, don't we? If you had your life to live over, would you do anything different? I'm sure all of us would say yes, absolutely, we would. But the reality is we only have one life to live. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, only once. And after this, the judgment. We only have one life to live. As Christians, we need to make sure we are living for the Lord. Now here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, as a little way to sum up these verses, Peter is saying that there are two kinds of people in this world. And you and I are only one of those kinds. We are only one or the other. Either we are living to get or we are living to give. You see, there are only two kinds of Christians today. Those who live to get and those that live to give. The Lord says, in fact, it can't be one or the other. Now, sometimes we like to give, but oftentimes our surrender to the Lord is not such we are actually living to give. And you see, the Bible says here, an encouragement to these Christians, as in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. And Peter is speaking to them about being strong in giving, giving their lives to the Lord and giving themselves for the Lord's service. As we have received, the Bible says, we are to give, we are to minister. That word minister means to serve one another. Now, one of the Christian life's greatest discoveries is found in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where the Bible says, it is more blessed to what? To give than to receive. Now again, our sinful flesh tells us it's more blessed to get than to give, but really the opposite is true. The Lord Jesus Christ has obviously demonstrated that through His earthly ministry, amen. He came in the form of a servant. He came to give His all. He came to give Himself for us. He is our ultimate example, our wonderful Lord and Savior. And you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, when He died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, and the work of salvation was completed, the Lord expects everyone who has experienced the gift of eternal life to follow His example, to live, to give. So these passages this morning deal with being strong in giving. Notice what the Bible says again in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift. Now, who is Peter speaking to again? Who is his audience? Christians or non-Christians? Christians. Well, we know that. He's speaking to born-again believers. Now, the Bible tells us throughout the scriptures that when we are born again, upon the moment of our salvation, we receive at least one spiritual gift from the Lord. At least one, if not more. The Holy Spirit of God imparts those spiritual gifts to us so that we may minister, that we may serve the Lord and serve one another. God gives us spiritual abilities, spiritual gifts that He has gifted us with in order to accomplish His work. And what an amazing reality. If you have not heard about spiritual gifts before, let me encourage you, you cannot live the Christian life without understanding the truth of this fact. God, if God has saved you, if you've been born again, you have been saved to serve. And in fact, you don't need to worry about whether you have the strength to do it. God will give you the abilities He wants you to have in order to fulfill His perfect will. What an amazing, wonderful Savior we have. We'll talk about Him more in a moment. But see in 1 Corinthians there in your notes, chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." God wants us to know. Amen. Can you see that this morning? God says, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Don't miss this important fact. Verse 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are several gifts, and God lists them for us in different passages. Now, this morning we don't have time to do an exhaustive study on the different gifts. We've done that in the past, and we will do that again during the main services in the future. But just notice that there are different spiritual gifts, but then the Bible says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In other words, God gives us the gifts that we need in order to live out His will. And those gifts are not out of our choosing. Who chooses to give us those gifts, those spiritual abilities? It is the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives these abilities to each Christian as God wills. Now, every Christian has at least one spiritual gift, and these gifts are to be used in the work of God. So before we continue on and we look at our first point, realize very simply, God has saved us to give, hasn't He? God wants us now as Christians not to live to get. I don't know about you, that's what I lived for before I got saved. I lived to get. Everything was about me. Even if I gave, it was for my own selfish reasons. I lived to get. But now God says to me as a saved believer, I want you to live to give. Live to give. Notice Roman numeral number 1. What will help us to live a giving life? Well, we need to know that the God of our salvation is the God of our lives. Roman numeral number 1, the God of our lives. Your first blank is the word God. Notice the end of verse 10. The Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Aren't they wonderful words? The grace of God. Simply put, God's grace is God giving to us what we do not deserve. And when we think about the grace of God, what do we think about? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise God. Salvation is a free gift. Praise the Lord, we can go up the road and tell people who are stuck in religion or who are trying to work their way to heaven and think that their good works are good enough. Thank God, even though they never know whether they can get there, thank God we can bring the message of the gospel, the wonderful message of salvation, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, eternal life is not a gift that we deserve. That's why it's a gift. If it was something we would deserve, it would be called a reward. The Bible would say the reward is eternal life. No, my friends, the free, undeserved gift because of God's mercy and loving favor is given to the lost, given to you and I because of His love. Eternal life. You and I, what do we deserve? We deserve to be cast into the lake of fire. That's how great our sins are in the eyes of God. Why is hell so bad, we sometimes ask? Well, because our sins are so great. You know, our sins have mounted up to the heavens. That's how great our sins are and how offensive they are in the sight of a holy God. But thank God there is one who is greater, amen, whose love is greater than our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid once and for all for our iniquities on the cross. And once we are saved, we realize that our Savior, He's the God of our lives, isn't He? Amen? He has bought us with a price. We are His and He is ours. What a wonderful joy to be a Christian. What a wonderful joy to be saved and to know from that point onwards you are in the very hands of the Lord and you can be never taken out. You can never lose your salvation. What a wonderful gift. How precious that gift should become each day as we get to know our Savior. But why is it if we've experienced such a wonderful salvation, so great a salvation, that we find it difficult to surrender our lives to the Lord? Why is it we find it so difficult to live to give? Well, isn't it true oftentimes we let the discouragements of life distract us from the Lord? We allow the trials of life to get us down and we lose focus on the fact that you and I are here for a moment and we will spend eternity forever and we have but a moment to serve the Lord and the Lord has given us everything and we have the wonderful joy of serving Him with our lives. You know, we so often forget what He has given to us. That's the real reason we struggle with surrendering, because we forget. We forget all that He has given. You know, if we simply take some time to read our Bibles, to spend some time with the Lord in His presence, it won't take long. It won't take long for God to revive your heart and overwhelm you with the love that He has for us. Amen. And the Bible tells us that His love is so deep, you can never plumb the depths. How great is the height, the depth, amen, of the love of Christ. The love of Christ. It's by grace that we are saved. It's by grace that we are kept saved. It is by grace that we are here this morning, amen. It's by God's grace that we can breathe. And so if we are to take this step of living to give, we need to understand that God has given everything to us first. He just simply expects us to live for Him. And that's not a big ask if we understand that He is the God of our lives. Now the point here in verse 11, of course, and the context here is not the gift of salvation, but obviously these spiritual gifts come as a result of God's grace and salvation. But these gifts are also, notice, the result, verse 10, of the manifold grace of God. The word manifold means diverse. You know, when God's grace is given to us, it doesn't just end at salvation, amen. He continues to pour out His graciousness upon our lives. He continues to bless us. He continues to wonderfully bless us with His grace. And one of those evidences is the fact that He has given us spiritual gifts. At the moment of our salvation, we not only received the gift of eternal life, but we received at least one spiritual, supernatural ability. A spiritual gift as a result of the grace of God. So what does that tell us? Well, very simply, we don't deserve to be saved. And if God has gifted us with spiritual abilities, that also means, wouldn't you agree, we don't deserve to serve Him either. That ought to cause us to say, Lord, I don't deserve to do anything for Your glory. In fact, the littlest thing would be even too much. And yet God wants to go much further than that, doesn't He? He wants to use us sinful, wretched, wicked, defiled people to reflect His glory in this world. What an amazing God we have. And He has equipped us with gifts so that we may give our lives for His glory. When we understand that, we will be giving people, won't we? Amen? Look with me in Roman numeral number 2, the giving of our lives. The Bible uses some important words that we need to understand here in verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. As I already mentioned, the word minister means to serve. God says, I want you to serve one another. You see, God's blessings, they come to us, but they're not to remain with us. They are to come through us and go on to others. That's what the Bible says. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Amen? That's what the Bible says. We have received the gift and we are to minister one to another. It's an important truth, the giving of our lives. Roman numeral number 2. Now, as the wet season approaches, and if we do have some rain in the coming months towards the end of the year, you know as well as I do, the pamphlets will be out, the brochures will be out, the Cairns Local Council will be making sure that we don't have containers perhaps in our backyard or front yard that are there to collect water. And we all know why, because what happens when water collects in those containers and it doesn't flow out, what happens to that water? It becomes stagnant, that's right. And what little friendly Aussie creature loves to breed in that water? That's right. Thank you, brother, for the scientific name. The good old Aussie mozzie loves to breed in that stagnant water, that stinky, stagnant water. Now, why does it become stagnant? Well, you see, water comes in, but it doesn't go out. Now, where there's flowing water, that's not stagnant water. That's not a breeding ground. But where stagnant water lives, where water comes in and it doesn't flow out, that's where the mozzies love to breathe. Now, in the Christian life, we need to understand, just because we're saved doesn't mean we're living rightly. Oftentimes, our lives can become stagnant. Now, why is that? Why is it sometimes we stand back and we think to ourselves, you know I'm saved, but is this all there is in the Christian life? And perhaps the Holy Spirit of God is knocking on our hearts and saying, maybe there is more, amen? Maybe there are more miracles to experience. Maybe there are more souls to be won. Maybe there is more of the Lord to love and adore. Maybe there is more. In fact, the Christian life can be summed up with one word, more. More about Jesus would I know, as we sing. And yet so often our lives become stagnant. Now why is that? Because God blesses us. The blessings come in, but nothing is going out. You see, that's how we become, and let me be honest and use the word I just used before, sometimes we become Christians that stink. We spiritually stink. We stink of the world. We stink of selfishness. We stink of idleness because the blessings are coming in and nothing's going out. Now, I've been there before. I remember one year my wife said to me, she turned around, she said, honey, I just got a feeling that we ought to be doing more for God. That got my attention. We were already doing many things in the church. But you see, there was an area of my life that wasn't surrendered and I was focusing on that and well, praise the Lord. By the end of that year, I got right with the Lord, and then the Lord brought us up here. You know, we can all face times of stagnancy where God is blessing us and God has already equipped us and He wants to use us in a much greater way than we can possibly imagine, but we are keeping those gifts to ourselves. That's not why God gifted us with spiritual abilities. He has gifted us to do what? To give, not to get. We are to minister one to another. You see, if we are stagnant Christians, we won't be a help to lift others up. In fact, we'll be a stumbling block to trip each other over, to pull each other down. That's why it's so important to understand that we are ministers. Amen? If we are Christians, we are ministers. It's not just the pastor who's a minister. He's just one of the ministers. The word minister means to serve. And if only our politicians understood the reality of that word. The word minister means to be a servant. That's why it's so important to see that life is about giving. His blessings come to us and through us to others. Also in your Bibles, notice verse number 10. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, steward. Now what is a steward? A steward is one, listen carefully, that owns nothing. A steward belongs to a master, and the master has given that steward everything he needs, but that steward, in fact, owns nothing. His responsibility is to care for what he is given, to develop and increase what he is given for the master's use, for the master's glory. That's what a steward is. Now, the Bible says, if we are saved, we are stewards. You know, you may think that the clothes that you are wearing this morning are yours, but guess what? They are not. Amen? You can say amen against your flesh. Amen. You may think that the car you drive this morning is yours, but guess what? It is not. The car you're driving this morning is not yours. In fact, the house you're living in today, that's not yours either. And we don't like to hear that, but lo and behold, if the Lord tarries and each one of us step into eternity, one day someone else is going to be living in your house. Is that right? Amen. Absolutely. That house isn't yours. Your clothes are not yours. Your possessions are not yours. We are stewards of what God has given us. Everything is His. He is the master. If you come on Wednesday nights as we're studying through the parables, we'll learn more about this. We are stewards. We are stewards of the grace, the manifold grace of God. Now, of course, the context, what are we talking about? Money? What are these gifts again? We are talking about spiritual gifts. That means that the gifts that God gives us, guess what? They are not our own. They are not our own. Now, let me say this. I haven't put it in my notes this morning. Some say it's not possible for your spiritual gifts to be used outside of the place where God wants you to use them. I personally believe that it is. I believe that the world oftentimes takes advantage of Christians that God has gifted with a spiritual gift. They recognize the excellence of character of that person, that there's something different, and then they use that gift against them. For example, the gift of mercy, the gift of supernatural compassion for another. And I believe a Christian who has the gift of mercy, that is sensitive to the feelings of others, can be taken advantage of by a boss who calls them up on a Sunday morning and says, "Excuse me, we have a shortage of staff. We're in a big trouble right now. Will you come in and help us today?" And if that Christian isn't surrendered to the Lord, I believe their spiritual gift will be horrifically taken advantage of. You know, the gift of administration, the ability to organize, the ability to plan, and a supernatural gift of God to do a job and look ahead and have spiritual foresight. That can be taken advantage of by the business world. Absolutely. They recognize your ability and they want to use it for themselves. And you see, the Bible tells us here in the Word of God that we are stewards of the gift that God has given us. We are given a spiritual gift of the Lord, and it is not ours to do with what we please. Is that correct? If we are stewards, it's not ours. Therefore, we need to listen to the Master's words and say, "Lord, well, what have you given me? What do you want me to do with this spiritual gift?" Can you see how often we get it wrong? We don't even know, perhaps, we have spiritual gifts. And then we oftentimes live for everyone else, except for the Lord. We are stewards. God has entrusted them. These abilities for His glory, He's entrusted them to us. Now here's a question. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? God has given you at least one, if not more. Do you know what they are? The question isn't whether you have any or not. If you are born again, you do. Do you know what they are? Now, here's another question. Whose responsibility is it to discover your spiritual gift? To find out what that is?
It's your own.
That's right. If we were to be honest, if we want to pass the buck, you might say it's pastor's responsibility. Amen. Well, part of my ministry is to see and encourage that spiritual gift also. But church family, it is your responsibility. It is my responsibility to discover our spiritual gifts. It's not someone else's responsibility. It's our responsibility to discover what that gift is. And you see, the only way we will discover what spiritual gifts God has equipped us with is if we live to give. If we surrender our lives to the Lord. Not just turn up on a Sunday morning, not just a Sunday morning surrender, but a lifetime surrender. If we surrender our lives to the Lord, if we commit ourselves to following the Lord, our spiritual gifts will come out as we serve Him, as we want to be a blessing, as we simply have a heart of giving, those spiritual gifts will be revealed. It will be obvious. It will be obvious to you. It will be obvious to others. And you'll know what those spiritual gifts are. Now, let me say very quickly before we go to our last point. As we think of our theme this morning, Jesus said, what did he say? And behold, I come quickly. The Master is coming. And my reward is with me. Can you imagine? Not only does God give us spiritual gifts, but he wants to reward us in the end for that which we do not deserve. Can you comprehend the grace of God? He wants to reward us. And he's coming to give every man according as his word shall be. What an amazing thing. But let me say this, what a tragic thought. That if you and I never discover our spiritual gift, one day we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ as Christians, and the Lord won't ask the question, what did you do with your life? He'll be more specific than that. He'll ask the question, how did you use those spiritual gifts for my glory? You see, it's possible to serve the Lord in the flesh. It's possible to serve the Lord for the wrong motives. The Lord will ask, how did you use those spiritual gifts for my glory? Do you think it's important for us to know what they are?
Yep.
Absolutely. Do you think it's important for us to be giving through that gift? Absolutely. The Lord is coming. Shouldn't that be enough motivation for us to surrender to the Lord afresh and say, Lord, what are those gifts? Lord, show me. Lord, help me to serve you. Help me to surrender the giving of our lives. Peter is simply saying this morning, Christians, don't live to get, live to give. Lastly, the goal of our lives. What is the goal? Verse 11, notice there with me. Your third blank is the word goal. Verse 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, if we are speaking for the Lord, we are to declare his words, not our own.
Amen.
Amen. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to serve him. We need to serve him in the spirit and not in the flesh. As I've already mentioned, now notice the goal, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, that is the goal of giving. Now, we can have all sorts of different motives and good motives in serving and giving for others. We may have a giving heart because we want to do good to someone else. You know, that's a good motive. You may have a heart to serve in this church because you want to be a blessing to the church family. That's a good motive. You know, you may want to serve and say, hey, I want to give Pastor a hand because I can see that there's a need in that ministry and that area has a need, so I want to help Pastor out. Let me say that's a good motive too. But do you realize that's not the best motive? You see, there are good motives, but then there is the best motive. And really the whole purpose of living to give is what? For the glory of God, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the motive for giving. You know, as we serve the Lord, people ought to say, praise the Lord, amen. Not praise the person, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that Christian. Isn't it encouraging? When someone surrenders to the Lord, when someone's surrendering regularly, living for the Lord. You see, everything that we do should be based upon the goal that God will be glorified. God will be glorified. Now, I've taken a few minutes longer this morning, but it's our last class for the term. It's a good one to end on. The Lord is coming. The time is at hand. What are we doing with our spiritual gifts? Are they engaged? Do you know what they are? Have you discovered what your spiritual gift is by surrendering and living to give? Are you available? I can count on one hand, to be honest. I can count on one hand how many folks I've heard since I've been a pastor come up to me and say, Pastor, I want to serve the Lord. Is there something that I can do? That is a rare thing to hear. Very rare. Why? Because the reality is, most often than not, you and I are living to get. We are not living to give. Let's be givers, amen? Let's be givers. That's what Peter is saying. Don't lose sight of the big picture. Let's live to give. Now, the problem isn't with God's supply, amen? God has an abundance of supernatural gifts and abilities in His supply. And He gives them to us at the moment of salvation. You already have them. I already have them. The question is, are we living to give or are we living to get? May God help us to be unselfish, giving, living people whose goal is this, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our church and through our lives. Amen? Be strong in giving. Let me encourage you to take these notes home, clip them into your folders and meditate. Think about the Word of God to you this morning. As I reflect on them for me, you know, I was thinking to myself as I went through these verses, you know, the Lord is convicting me. Wow. You know, I need to serve Him in the Spirit, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Not withholding those things that the Lord wants me to say because some people might be offended, and then not seeking to bring someone down in the flesh because I want to get people moving in the church. Amen? That's easy to do as well. I hope you see this morning what God says in His Word. What does the Lord say? Amen? The oracles of God. What does He say we are to live to do? As manifold, as stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, if you're looking for something to do, if you want to serve, come and see me after the service. There's lots to do. The sky's the limit. As my good old pastor said when I got saved, he said, James, the sky's the limit. The question is, what will you do for the Lord? Amen? The sky's the limit.